from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thank you very much. What was that, Baldy McPherson? What was that?
McGrindy.
McGrindy. Let's go to, okay, enough of the Gillette Lewis.
We had an impromptu visit from Baldy McGrindy, since he is out there at Bears training camp with Jim Miller and their show on NFL XM Channel 88. So that was nice. On tomorrow's show, we'll talk with Mark Grody from training camp. Kevin Fishbane restarts his weekly hits with us as we get closer and closer to the Bears playing next week. And we'll see what other surprises we have for you. Dan has made it his way towards his doctor's appointment, and hopefully he's going to be okay for it, because, yeah. Parkins and Spiegel are here, though. Hello, boys.
Is he nervous?
Yes, very much so.
He's walking out. I'm walking by him, and he goes, I hope to see you tomorrow. I was like, Dan, you're going to be fine.
The man gets very concerned. I guarantee you he's going to do better than he fears he is going to do.
He'll do better than last time.
Yes, that's the hope, is that he'll do better than last time, which was him not being here the next day.
Right.
But I've got some concerns about his preparation for his blood pressure test, but maybe they're not well-founded.
Has he been studying for the blood pressure test?
You
can get a tutor for that.
I said to him, I said, well, Dan, you're walking to your appointment. That's probably going to take your blood pressure down, which is a good thing. And he's like, I'm just so nervous. The psychologist told me to take the Xanax. And I'm like, I think you should wait on that.
Yeah. I don't know that you want to be medicated for it. That's because you want a true reading.
Well, if it's something you take every day. Yeah. Right, if he takes Xanax every day.
You're not supposed to take Xanax every day.
Xanax isn't as needed.
Yes.
And it can be a very wonderful thing.
It's an acute drug, not something you take chronically.
Yeah,
it
can be a very helpful thing.
So, I mean, if it helps with his anxiety, maybe that has the effect that he needs. Anyway, but that's...
Good luck to Dan.
Good luck to Dan, and hopefully we'll see him tomorrow.
Would that help not have the Cubs season be over, essentially? Because this is too early for baseball season to feel as over as it feels.
I heard you guys talking about it yesterday, about how it was over, and then you have another game by them where it is an example of everything that people have worried about with this team. You get good pitching. Again.
Yeah, pitching's been great.
You get good pitching.
Bullpen's been great.
You just can't hit.
No.
And if you can't hit, you're not going to win.
And it's real hard to hit. It's real hard.
Sure.
But it's just...
Other teams do it, though.
Well, but everyone is seemingly struggling, right? I mean, this is one of the lowest OPSs we've seen league-wide in 20 years, one of the lowest averages we've seen league-wide in 20 years. It's like bottom three in both. But when you spend what they spend, and they are as like in their athletic prime as they are, these are not like young guys. It's not a team full of PCAs with 200 or 300 major league at-bats. I think relative to the sport, they should be better, and they're not, so it's over. And it'd be one thing if it was like the White Sox, not 50 games under 500, but if there were like obvious like obvious blue chip guys to trade, then it wouldn't even feel as over, because right, they'd be like wheeling and dealing. It's like, but they might trade Hector Neris. You know what I mean? Like, and then you'll like talk about
the heart attack, Hector.
And like you'll talk about them trading Tyone, but they probably won't.
Yeah, because if they believe that they're back up in 2025,
which they do,
$17 million per for the next two for Tyone is a bargain.
Right.
Which is also why it makes him tradable. But if they think that they're going to be ready next year, you'd love to have a nice, stable rotation. And they will have that. They will have Steele and Shota and Tyone.
The best set of opinions on the Cubs all year long, I think, was the caller to your guys' show who said they were trying to be cute, said they were trying to build a team, you know, showing just how smart they were and how intelligent they can spend and just how crafty they can do it. And that's been Jed's design. And it looks good and feels good. It looks good on paper. It reads real well. And then you get out there and you're like, oh, wait a minute. We just got a bunch of dudes who are slightly marginally above average at their very best. And we hope they all do that. And that will protect us. And that's just not a good enough way to do it with baseball offense these days. It's just not.
The things I was talking with Dan about this morning, and I'm very serious about it. I really enjoy when Jed and Carter are on the air. Although today Carter was not very helpful at all on the air.
Carter was despondent today.
I hope that they have enough self-actualization and realization that they can go, maybe our approach is off. Maybe we need to challenge ourselves to think differently.
Who's pushing back? Who's pushing back, man? Ross pushed back. I know they didn't like it.
I was hoping that, and maybe it will be this way. I hope the council pushes back.
Well, I can tell you this. We heard it from Nico, and then I was talking to some other people around the ballpark. Ross was a guy like talking about two-strike approach a lot. Most people around baseball aren't anymore. So I'm not even putting that on council. I'm just saying that they are in agreement. Jed and Craig are in lockstep agreement on a bunch of stuff in terms of offensive approach. And the offensive approach, it's a bad thing across the sport. It makes more sense logically. It makes more sense mathematically to have that approach, but it makes for an ugly game and makes for an offense that breaks real easy.
Very easily, it breaks your game. Did you guys hear driving home? I guess it would be driving in. Talkman with Zach?
Did not.
No.
We're going to save that for you. You should hear it because it's
what we're talking
exactly
about.
Exactly what you're talking yeah. about. And it was him saying, for the most part, that he thinks that the slow erosion of the minor league system has not allowed guys to have enough at bats and enough challenging at bats. And he made a really good point about like getting that 1,000 at bats as you're coming up, and that he's not.
You mean the guys are being fast tracked? What do you mean when you say erosion of the minor league system?
That they're not enough players. That guys are getting pushed to the major leagues, and they're not seeing enough when they're in the minor leagues. I'm probably not saying as well as he did.
No, it's interesting.
So Ray will leave it for Tanny, and you guys can take a listen to it. It's really good stuff from Talkman on kind of explaining it and the idea of approach, like. All of it sounds good in theory. In theory, of course you want Christopher Morel to swing as hard as he can because he's got a lightning quick bat and he hits the ball far when he connects. That makes sense because you need more slug. And Cody Bellinger has talked about the sacrifices that you make for slug.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that you can have your A-hacks, no strikes, one strike. You could have them, but maybe the idea should be, I'm going to try to go the opposite way. I'm just going to try to get the bat on the ball in some of these situations.
So,
Nico, I think, is the best on this team at that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Right. What he was saying was he was like, some swings, because of the plane that they're on or the length of the swing, simply don't work that way. There really isn't a way to do it. And so, like, when we brought up the idea of Morel, when we were talking, he was like, well, what does he lead us in RBI? And we're like, well, yeah, he's second. He's like, so he's getting the job done.
But he's not, though.
I know. It's the, I'm saying how they see it.
He's getting the job done on a spreadsheet.
Yeah. Like, he's not, though. And what I would say is that, yes, with the RBI number and maybe even with the homer number on him, you say, oh, that's good. And all, he is a very interesting statistical case. Walk rate up, strikeout rate down.
Yeah.
And even in a big moment, was it two nights ago, where he draws that walk to load the bases, you go, wow, that's growth. I am seeing a hitter that is growing.
Well, you're
but
seeing
the results are not showing up for him.
Because, I mean, there have been a lot of times where he works to get a really good pitch in a good count, at least. He works to get a good count, but he's still trying to do the one thing that he's trying to do. And it becomes, you start to not take advantage of the situation. This is really more a reflection of the state of the overall game. And Theo tried to stop it. First, he quit trying to do it. And then he tried to stop it actively. And it hasn't worked. It's only gotten worse. And now you have a front office and a manager who are completely lockstep on how to do it. There's not enough pushback. I don't think there's enough pushback within the brain trust. You need more different guys.
I don't know if I want to damn counsel with him being in lockstep with Jed and Carter.
On offensive approach and what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, I will damn that.
Okay.
I will happily damn that. I mean, here's the thing. I think our conversation with Nico all year shed a lot of light on some of this stuff. Like, Nico was talking at one point early on about, yeah, you know, it'd be good to pull the ball more. It would be good to pull the ball with some more power. And then we had the conversation where we pointed out, you know, you guys are very low in line drive rate. You're high in fly ball rate, but you don't hit a lot of homers. And he's like, oh, that's interesting. And, you know, and then you look at him. He's number one in line drive percentage since June 1st, Nico. And what's happening? He's hitting it the other way a ton. He's getting on base all the time. And this is the best version of him. He's a guy who should not be trying to pull the ball for slug. He should not. And so that means
that's what he said. He said that you don't.
But he was trying to do it for a while.
But he said that there's not a team-wide approach to hitting. That it's a bunch of individualized cases. Because to his point, not every
swing is the same.
And he can't do the same things that Morel can do, or that Bellinger can do, right, or that Happ can
do. So he's chosen to do it, and Bellinger can do it, but there's very, very few others, if any, who can do it, and some are not even asked to do it.
Well, I think that I'd have to go back and look at every at-bat, but I have been encouraged over the last three games... that Dansby Swanson's approach is a way. Like, he is trying to, you know, use some of the old school baseball of, let's see if I can let the ball get a little deeper. I'll try to go the opposite way. And then that builds you back to you being able to pull for slug. I've seen him do that, and that makes me happy. But he can't cover a fastball right now.
Yeah, which is crazy because he always used to be able to do that. That was his thing.
People are getting him out with 95, 96 heart of the plate. And that's terrifying considering that he's got 5 more years left on his deal.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense that it would just go, though. He's 30.
I'm guessing it has something to do with some sort of underlying injury.
Yeah, like the knee thing. Because it doesn't make you don't stop being a good hand-eye coordination athlete at 30 when he's been excellent.
Check his birth certificate.
Yeah, right. Maybe it's
you know how they do it in Georgia.
That's true. Famously. I'm going to take
that's where Jose Contreras is from. No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah, an abrupt right turn here. There's a news story out there I wanted to talk about with you guys. You see that Southwest Airlines is abandoning open seating?
Yeah.
No, really?
Is Thanksgiving not on a Thursday anymore? Like, are we abandoning all tradition?
I thought that was the whole thing. That was the whole thing that made them unique.
Well, the feedback that they've gotten from flyers is that flyers want assigned seats.
And that it's quicker for the boarding process and all of that. But really, you shouldn't board a plane front to back. You should board a plane
outside in.
If you're really window seats should board first. And back of the plane window seats should probably board first. And then work your way to the front of the plane. But I don't care. Southwest is awesome. Bags fly free, no change fees. And so it's a little bit of a wild west getting your seat assignment.
I'm so with you. I'm an A group guy. So yeah. you can complain all you want. I know where I'm sitting.
Yeah. I agree, but
it's an exit row.
It's just crazy. Baby. Like that's a bedrock thing of what we do in America is we've got Thanksgiving on Thursdays and we've got Southwest open seating and the NFL took the day of the week from the church and plays on Sundays. Like I don't understand how this could be. This is their identity. I don't like it.
I think they want to change it up. I'm interested to see how this works. I fly almost exclusively Southwest because it's just easier for me to get to Midway.
If you fly out of Midway, it's a great airline for you.
It really is. Yeah. And I'm curious on how all of this stuff is going to go.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Speed, you got a thought?
Yeah, the airlines seem to be in some peril. You know,
except for Southwest because they have, a little older of a system and they weren't shut down when that whole thing went kablooey.
I know Delta's not having a good moment.
No,
here.
Things are rough.
Things are rough.
Does that make you scared about a big time cyber attack?
I've always been scared.
We're a little too technologically dependent.
I have fears that some morning I'm going to wake up and all of our electronic money is just gone. Like it's just
like right now it's just a number on a screen,
right? And then by tomorrow morning it won't even be that, and everybody will be like, "What are you talking about? It was never there." You know, like I won't even be able to chase it. It was always a theoretical.
It's like the scene from Ocean's 11 where they go down. It's like, oh, well, now they know and they're fixing it, so we can't run our job. But that's not how that felt. It felt like, wow, that's really fragile.
Yeah.
It's the system that we've got going on where air traffic just kind of stopped.
I don't have time to be hanging around with you circus animals.
I love that. I love that scene.
I love that whole movie.
It's a great movie.
I love that entire thing.
Balloon Boy!
Yeah, it's extremely well done. It's slick. It's delightful.
You're Bobby Caldwell's kid from Chicago. Yeah, that's wonderful. Get in the G-damn house.
the literal strong-arming that Bernie Mac's character is doing for the van for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, just because he could.
Strong handshake.
And once they've completed the heist, one of the world's most beautiful songs ever, Claire de Lune by Debussy, used while they're like looking at the fountains there.
Yeah, Bellagio fountain.
Before
they disperse to make terrible decisions with all of their money.
But it's an exquisite moment of music supervision.
I would agree.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy too that movie, which is so great, which is obviously a remake, could then have the moment that happened in Ocean's 13. Where Julia Roberts just plays the person who looks like Julia Roberts, which is maybe the worst idea for a movie ever.
It's about
as dumb as it gets.
I do like the reaction of like, you don't even really look like her. Like,
okay.
Yeah, but maybe the eyes a little bit, but not so much.
So stupid. stupid. It's just such a dumb idea.
I don't think I even made it through 13.
No, 12 it to me bad. Is the bad one. I actually enjoy 13 because there's
Is that the one that I'm talking about? Is 13 the one with Julia Roberts where she plays Julia Roberts?
Yeah, 13 is Julia Roberts playing Julia Roberts. 12 is it's not. No, wait. No, wait. Now I'm confusing them.
Yeah, I don't remember.
12 is the one where she plays Julia Roberts, and 13
that,
is the
that's
one.
That's the one that I hate.
Yes. 13 is the one where they leave the women out of it because it's not their fight. That's what 13. That and I like 13.
Yeah,
because
you're right. Julia Roberts as Julia Roberts is 12. One of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Because in 13, they're kind of winking at you like, hey,
yeah,
you came back for this one? And it's great. And I don't know if anyone has ever asked Matt Damon this question. But at the end scene where they're in the airport and they're saying goodbye, and they're clearly like having fun with each other because they love each other, I would love to know, because seeing it multiple times, I feel like his action, and it's only like 10 seconds of I'll see you when I see you, I felt like that was a nod to Jason Bourne. And I would love to ask him that question. Like in that moment,
I don't know.
Were you Jason Bourne in that moment, in that scene?
You know, the Bourne movies cost Matt Damon $250 million.
How?
He was offered by James Cameron.
Oh, Batman.
No.
Titanic.
Nope.
Avatar.
Avatar. He was offered 10% of Avatar.
Oh.
And he couldn't do it because of Bourne Ultimatum or Supremacy, whichever the third one was. And so he was already committed. And, you know, he got $20 million or whatever for the movie and probably had some back end. But, yeah, he was offered 10% of Avatar from Jim Cameron. And then Cameron was like, I couldn't get Matt Damon, so I'll just go with an unknown and keep the whole thing to myself. Cost about $250 million.
What is he, John Elway?
Yeah. He's like, I couldn't break my Bourne contract.
Dylan
for
Cease.
Avatar.
Guys, Dylan Cease is at 102 pitches. Maybe it's 103. Threw 8 no-hit innings for the San Diego Padres against the Washington
Keep
Nationals.
Keep him in.
He is. Well, I think he will come out and get the ninth. At 103 pitches, they will give him a chance. Go up to 120, up to 125. That's a veteran. It's a guy who should know his arm. He was pumping the fist as he walked off after 8. I think he will get his chance to complete the no-no.
Good for Dylan Cease.
Yeah. I wonder where Garrett Crochet will be throwing a no-hitter next year.
I was a little – we didn't touch on it at all on the show today, but I forgot who it was. It was probably Heyman, where I guess part of Crochet's thing is if you trade him – then he needs an extension if he's going to pitch out of the bullpen. And I'm like, I don't think that's how things work.
He's got
two more years left.
No, this isn't the NFL where guys can just say, I'd like a new contract and I'm not coming to camp. And then they eventually get a new contract.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they go to camp and go, can I have a new contract? And it's like, but you're already here.
That's the new sit-in.
Yep.
Or hold-in.
The hold-in.
Hold-in that they're calling it.
You're already here, sir. What are you going to do? Let me see here. Let's see if I'm getting this thing right, because I don't want to damn John Heyman with it. Here it is. Garrett Crochet plan with White Sox is to pitch normal workload as a starter until the end of regular season. If traded, would need extension to pitch in October. He won't move to bullpen and will not take any break.
Oh, so he won't move to bullpen and he's not going to try to pitch in October. Unless he has an extension, he's not going to put his arm and his innings at risk.
View starter routine as best for health, which I'm okay with. But that for a guy with 2 years left on his deal, that's if you want to.
So he's saying that he's only capable of pitching as a starter every 5 days through September, but not through October.
Yeah, and he would rather be damned to be a White Sox than being traded to a contender.
What if the White Sox would have made the playoffs?
Well, he would have been a starter on starters rest for the White Sox.
Well, right, but would he? But he's saying,
yeah, would he have honored his contract and done whatever was asked of him in that situation? It's a good question. I don't know, because I think what teams want to do is they want to get him and they want to make him Andrew Miller for this particular this postseason run. Make him a lefty that just dominates out of the bullpen, and that means getting asked to pitch 3 times in a week or something like that, which he hasn't done for a long time.
I'm okay with him wanting to be on routine. I think it's really good. What I What I haven't liked, and I think that this is now like the unintended consequence of it, I haven't liked the White Sox talking about, well, obviously we're not going to let him pitch, you know, 200 innings. Well, what if he can't? Like, what if he needs to callus up to 180 or 200 innings? And if you're not seeing fatigue, if you're not seeing delivery being compromised, then let him keep going. You don't have to put a governor on him. Governor?
Well, I guess baseball season isn't quite over.
No, it's not quite over. It's going to be, well, and it's not quite over in other Bears. Towns. It's it feels over in this town. Did you see this? That the number, all the teams that have scored at least 10 runs since the All-Star break, all of them, except for the Cubs and the White Sox. Those are the only two teams in baseball who haven't scored 10 runs.
That's because Chris Bryant came back yesterday and the romp and stomp and Rocky scored 20.
That's crazy.
I think he went 3-for-3 with 3 singles.
Good for him. Welcome back.
Or
3-for-6. Maybe he'll stay healthy for 2.5 weeks in a row.
That would be nice.
We've got AJ Pierzynski coming up at 3 o'clock. Mark Grody with the Bears report at 5. We've talked about who the breakout star for the Bears on Hard Knocks is going to be. Where are their liabilities? Where are their liabilities? Because this Giants thing has exposed some liabilities.
That's what I've been saying, that I think we all owe George an apology.
So, no, I mean, listen, I love it, though.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's the best Hard Knocks ever.
Yeah, so I'll take that Rex Ryan Jets season,
Ravens season. That's the only thing that's close.
The Revis holdout and Rex Ryan, that was incredible.
Just
television.
Get a bleeping snack.
Yeah. Does it matter that he isn't here? You're damn right it does. He's pretty effing
He's
good.
He's pretty effing good. It's a great admission.
It's so awesome.
Makes you love your coach.
It's so good. And
he's pretty f-ing good.
One of the all-time great lines in Hard Knocks. That's the show today, Lawrence.
Have fun, boys.
All right,
see you. Thank you, sir.
Tandy's open, kicks us off. Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.